Welcome to One Christian Church. We're so glad you're listening in. It's our prayer that the Word of God will both challenge and inspire you as you listen.
We're doing a Sermon on the Mount series, and last week we spoke on the first of the Beatitudes coming from Matthew chapter 5. And the first one is, "Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then when you move on to verse 4 of chapter 5, you see this one here, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." And we'll look at the verse in a second, we'll pull it apart and we'll really get into it. But I want to just, before we move forward, I want to just remind you of the importance of understanding intent, content and context before you try and interpret Scripture. Really, really important that we don't delve in these little pieces of Scripture and get it to say what we want it to say. We have to be able to step back and settle ourselves and say, what was Jesus' intent for the Sermon on the Mount? What was Jesus' intent for the Beatitudes? What was Jesus' intent for this little passage? Does this line up with everything else he is saying? Is there something unique about this? Do you understand what I'm saying? And if we hone in on one little spot, we can actually miss the point. And this is one of those verses, along with many verses, that are regularly misquoted and misused. And when Scripture is misquoted and misused, what happens is it leaves you with this sense of letdown. You ever felt God's let you down? Do you know why you feel like God has let you down? Because someone has preached something or you've read something from Scripture and you have an expectation. And what happens is God doesn't meet that expectation, right? If you had an accurate view of Scripture, if you had an accurate view of truth, you would very quickly realize when we sing these songs and we declare, God's never let me down, it would be true. God cannot, will not ever let you down. What happens is we enforce our will upon God and He says, I'm not doing that. You come and seek my will, and then you'll find out I will never let you down. So, intent, content, and context are absolutely everything. I reckon I've done a bit of church history. I'm a pretty avid studier. I reckon majority, if not up towards the 90% of error that we have from Scripture or interpretation of Scripture is this. We interpret Scripture without understanding intent. And then we make Jesus' intent fit our interpretation. That's where error comes from. Let the Word tell you truth. Don't you try and tell the Word the truth. Let the Word tell you what to do and say. Don't you tell the Word what to do and say. As we go through this series, I know this is sort of feels like unnecessary preamble. But as we go through these series, in particular the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount, I want you to realize that there is this ongoing contrast. Not conflict necessarily, but contrast between the natural world and the spiritual world. There is two worlds happening right now that you're a part of both. The natural world or the physical world and the spiritual world. They are totally separate worlds, yet they intertwine. You can have something in the physical that affects the spiritual. Likewise, you can have something in the spiritual that affects the physical. And it's important to always remember that there is two different worlds happening, the natural and the spiritual. If you don't, you can muck that up as well. You realize that you can be part of a family. And I know there are probably a few in the room, this might be a sore point or a nervous point, that you have been part of a family or a culture that has had witchcraft or occult or cult, curses put on your family. Do you know, when you're in that sort of scenario, it's not uncommon that those people coming out of those families have illnesses. Ill health, tumors, etc., etc. A curse being a spiritual form, a spiritual place, has an impact on the natural world. Likewise, you can make natural choices. Take someone who overeats, constantly overeats. And what happens is they get to this point where they get depressed. Depression is a spiritual thing. Depression is a spiritual thing. And so it has this natural origin. The impetus is natural, yet it will affect your spirit terribly. When you have a relationship, that's a normal, natural relationship. It can break up, and if you don't process it, it will soon become a spiritual tie in your life. The natural and the spiritual world are two separate worlds, yet intertwine. You've got to be smart in discerning is this origin. Because if you go and try and fix something that's spiritual, you think is spiritual, and it's a natural cause, you'll be let down. If you go and fix something in the natural and it's a spiritual cause, you will be let down. Okay, I know I'm sounding intense here, but I really want you to understand that this series is not just a time filler. This series was Jesus' inaugural conversation. It was a Congress. This is like Donald Trump gets up and says, this is what our administration is going to do for America. Well, that's what Jesus is doing here. He's getting up and saying, this is what the kingdom of heaven is all about. Who's in? And so if you don't understand what the kingdom of heaven's about, you're going to join the wrong kingdom. You need to understand what Jesus is saying here. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mourning is the outward expression of grief. Grief comes about through a sense of loss. So let's reverse it so everybody is with me. When you experience a sense of loss, that doesn't necessarily mean someone has to die. Now, when you experience grief, what you outwork is what we call mourning. Mourning. So we all mourn in different ways. Isn't that true? In the West here, we tend to be a little bit more stoic, a little bit more reserved, a little more Victorian. Boo-hoo, grandma died, you know. We don't tend to express ourselves. But in the Middle East, you can have a very, very, very different experience. During the Middle East, mourning is a very public event. Walk through the streets, make as much noise as you possibly can. In the Middle East, they don't put on any jewelry. It's not okay to look good while you're in mourning. In the Middle East, they will sit in the dirt and throw dirt on themselves and ash on themselves. Who'd like to move to the Middle East and do some mourning for a weekend? So they throw some dirt and dust and ash on themselves to mourn. My personal favorite is they used to put on this robe that was made of goat's hair, inside out, just to make you even more comfortable. So mourning is a strange thing. The way we outwork our grief is what we call mourning. The way we outwork our grief is individual, right? And the things that you think you should grieve over, someone else might trivialize. Likewise, you might trivialize what someone else is grieving over. When people don't mourn the way we think they should mourn, there comes this question. Now, people outwork their grief through mourning in very, very different ways. So Jesus says here, blessed are those who mourn, for you'll be comforted. Now, we've got a natural world and we've got a spiritual world. Is it the same thing to have a spiritual loss, spiritual grief, a spiritual mourning, as opposed to having a natural loss, a natural grief, a natural mourning? Are they the same thing? Okay, the short answer is no. But do they affect each other? Almost always. And when you have a natural loss, it needs natural comfort, a natural solution. Listen, I don't want to be really rude about this. But you know, when you have a financial loss, you can go to your prayer meeting all you want. What you actually need is financial comfort. You need to know where that money's coming from to pay the bills. If you've had a physical or a health loss, well, you can pray for God's intervention, but what you need to do is find a physical healing. Might come through. God might come through a natural cause. But the Holy Spirit's not going to sit with you in bed and try and comfort you through your physical ailment. Likewise, if you have spiritual loss, spiritual grief, there is no point going to people to fill that gap, to comfort you when it's a spiritual grief. It's a spiritual loss. What am I talking about? Loss of innocence is a spiritual loss. Loss of your sense of righteousness and right standing with God, that is loss. Loss of relationship with God when you backslide and you keep backsliding and that relationship is broken. That's loss. That should cause grief in us. If you're not walking with God, there should be a grief in you, a spiritual grief. And you can go and see people all you want. They will not feel that sense of necessity for comfort. Mourning will not be met through people because God alone will meet your spiritual mourning. That's what the promise here is. If you are spiritually mourning, the Holy Spirit will comfort you. This will be one of the greatest promises you'll hear in your life because everybody experiences loss and grief and mourning. It's part of life. But you got to be smart. When you have a natural loss, don't over-spiritualize things and run to God. If you have a natural loss, find a natural solution. By all means, engage God in the process. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not talking about removing God from natural matters. I'm just saying when it comes to practical matters, can we please be practical? When it comes to spiritual matters, can we please be spiritual? If you are grieving where your relationship is with God, don't go and speak to another person about it. Go straight to God. We tend to depend on each other for all the wrong things. We look for comfort in the wrong places. Listen, if you are not walking as closely with God as you should be, as you could be, as you were, listen, you should be experiencing grief. Because that's one of the jobs the Holy Spirit does. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8, "For even if I made you sorry..." Okay, the back story for this is, see what it says 2 Corinthians? There was a 1 Corinthians. Before 2 Corinthians was 1 Corinthians, and he wrote a letter to the church at Corinth. Now, the church at Corinth was very cosmopolitan. It was so trendy. It was this great intersection point. It was a port city, blah, blah, blah. And they were proud. This church was super proud of themselves because they had this high spiritual standard and zero moral standard. In fact, one of the guys that they were so proud of, they were telling everybody about, was a guy who was sleeping with his stepmom. And they're saying, "Oh, look how much we love him. Look how wonderful our church is." And Paul's going, "You should be ashamed of yourselves. You should be absolutely ashamed. Not that you just let this in, but you're promoting this bloke. You've got to be kidding. Kick him out." Oh, it doesn't sound very godly, does it? Paul says, "Kick this blighter out of your church, lest it becomes like a cancer." And so what they do is they kick him out. And years later, he sends this letter. And he says to them, "For even if I made you sorry with my letter, I don't regret it. Though I did regret it, you know, for a little bit, but I perceive that the same epistle, the first letter that I sent you, made you sorry, but just for a little while. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation. And that is not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death." You see, life has this way of producing sorrow. It does it by loss and grief. Right? That's a bad type of grief. That's a bad type of sorrow. That's a bad type of mourning. But Paul's saying here, the Holy Spirit speaking through me produced in you a godly grief. Because of the words that I spoke to you about righteousness, the Holy Spirit stirred something in you and you grieved. But it was a godly grieving. God instigated it. The Holy Spirit instigated that grief. Here's the beauty. God's the one who comforts. Because if you are struck with grief and you repent, got it? Then what happens next is the Holy Spirit, the one who initiated the process by creating that godly grief in you, produces a godly comfort. That spiritual loss, that spiritual grief, that spiritual mourning is met with a spiritual comfort. That's Jesus' promise to us. Now, if you're not in a right relationship with God, if there is sin in your life and you're not grieving, there is something wrong. It means either the Holy Spirit is just silent because you won't listen, or he's packed his bags and left. He's not going to tolerate our nonsense forever. He won't tolerate our nonsense forever. If you think, "Oh, I said a prayer back when I was 16 at a youth camp. Yeah, I might be 87 right now, but I'm saved because I said the prayer." I got some bad news. That's not a biblical perspective on salvation. You might have said a prayer when you were 16. The Holy Spirit came in. You're wonderfully, gloriously born again. You might have spoken in tongues and attended church and joined the music team. But if you are living a life that's contrary to Scripture, you should know it because the Scriptures will tell you and the Holy Spirit will tell you, and there should be a sense of grief. If you are experiencing spiritual grief in your life because of sin in your life, bad attitudes in your life, bad decisions in your life that have pulled you away from God, that's a wonderful thing. You should be saying, praise God for good grief. This is a good thing. If you experience grief because the Holy Spirit has presented an opportunity for you to be comforted. If you respond to that grief by repenting, yes, oh God, I have sinned. I am a sinner. I continue to sin. I want it to stop. I'm turning. He'll comfort you. But if you're going to hang on to your sin, your bad attitude, you won't repent, there is no comfort for you. You will stick and stay in the place of grief and spiritual mourning, I promise you. Who'd like to be comforted by the Holy Spirit? Can you acknowledge there's grief in your life? Something, just one area in your life where you know He's saying, I want that fixed now. Do you sense that grief? Is that sense of mourning? I can't believe I've offended you the way I have. I can't believe I continue to hurt your spirit the way I do. If there's that grief that leads to a mourning, praise God. It's good mourning. It's a mourning that's going to lead to your comfort if you will admit it and commit to turn from it. This is between you and the Holy Spirit. You see, no man is going to comfort you if you're going through spiritual grief. They might placate you. Oh, it's okay, sweetheart. It's okay, mate. But that's going to leave you just as shallow and hollow when the emotion dies down. What you need is spiritual comfort. What we all need is spiritual comfort. When there's something wrong in our lives, we need to confess it to God and turn from it. Repent, turn from it. Make a commitment today, I'm turning from that. I'm not returning to that life, I'm going in that direction. I am born again. I have no good reason to go back to that way of life. I am born again. The Holy Spirit indwells me. I am born again. I'm a person of power. I'm a person of passion. I have a future through what Jesus Christ has done in my life.
For more messages or information, you can contact us through our website at www.onechristianchurch.com.au. We would love to hear from you. Hope to see you this Sunday at One Christian Church.